WMFO in Medford. Listen to Rising with Skybar. This is something by the Downhalls. Just a touch after 8 o'clock, 8:04, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. That was the Downhalls, a song called Lost Soul. At the bottom of the hour, around 8:30 or so, Mike Younger is going to be calling in, talk about his gig at Atwood's tomorrow night, new release that he has out. So that's going to be hopefully around 8:30. It's always tricky when people are calling in because I'm flying alone here. So sometimes the song playing, sometimes, but so roughly around 8:30, he'll be calling in. Lots to get to tonight. Right now I'm going to play something by Senseless Optimism, though. They have a show Monday. This is coming up Monday at O'Brien's. Brittany came in last week to talk, and through flat tire and everything, she made it down. It was the quickest interview I ever did. She got here about 10 minutes to 10, right before we were closing out. But give her a lot of credit for making it down here and overcoming a flat tire to still come and do the show. So that was pretty good. Great band. Here's something by Senseless Optimism.
When you play these games that I can't see, then you call my name late at night, I can't breathe. you call my number, yes, you can dance while the morning came and I decide to leave you behind. I leave you behind. I leave you.
Springsteen with Roulette off of Tracks, before that Senseless Optimism, Leave You Behind. It's 8:12. I'm going to play something now by The Interrupters. They have a new CD out, record. It's on vinyl as well. It's obviously CD format too. It's called In the Wild. I've talked about The Interrupters before on the show. I first saw them about 10 years or so ago. They had just come out. The first self-titled release was out. I think they opened up for the Boss Tones, I believe it might have been, at the House of Blues. Became a big fan from then on. And I saw them at the Paradise a couple years after that. And that's probably the only chance you'll get to see them at the Paradise again, because they're pretty big now. So I'm glad I saw that show. But I've gotten everything they put out since that first Interrupters album. And this is the latest one. It's just as great as the rest of them. Going to play like three tracks off it. The middle one's kind of slow. It's kind of a different change of pace for them. It's a bit of a ballad, I think you might even say. But here are The Interrupters. In the Wild is the name of the release.
Well, I guess you're just another raindrop in the puddle of my pain. Dancing off the rooftops, down the gutter to the drain. And I'm a bolt of lightning tearing through your darkest sky. Just an afterthought to me. Just an afterthought to me. After the sad song of my childhood, you were a warm, familiar tune. You cut me deeper than the ocean. Then I put whiskey in my wounds. Yeah, you told me. Just an afterthought to me. Just an afterthought to me. Are the bars of a jail, and I never felt completely female. I sleep when the sun starts to rise, so I spend the night drying my eyes. And I watch other humans, they move place to place and hide in plain sight with that look on their face. Do they feel the same, or is it just me? Wish I could fly into that beautiful beam, and I don't fit in. I'm struggling, I'm trying to be one of them, but I'm an alien around here. struggling. I'm trying to be one of them, but I'm an alien right here. I'm an alien. Soul's crawling out of my skin. Yeah, this gravity's wearing me thin. I probably breathe better on Mars, floating up there above the stars. And I watch all the humans, they move place to place and hide in plain sight with that look on their face. Do they feel the pain or is it just me? Wish I could fly into that beautiful beam. And I don't feel struggling, I'm trying to be one of them, but I'm an alien right here, and I don't fit in. I'm struggling, I'm trying to be one of them, but I'm an alien right here. I'm an alien. Don't fit in, I'm struggling, and I'm not trying to be one of them. I'm an alien around here. I felt invisible, but everyone was staring at me. I felt alone, yet smothered, like no one would let me be. I felt the yearning, like a burning, too hot to overcome. 'Cause anything was better than where I was from. I met a band, they played a show. Now we're out on the road. We made it down through Arizona, where it didn't seem so cold. I had a California dream.
There were three from In the Wild. Anything Was Better, Alien, and Interrupters with Afterthought. Once again, great new release. Blackout Preparedness. If electrical power and everything else that depended on it, like cellular communication systems and the internet shut down, would you freak out? How long could you stay at home with the supplies you've currently got? Do you have enough stored water and ready-to-eat food to last 3 days? How about a week? Unexpected situations such as power outage, water disruption, or other emergencies can happen at any time, so be prepared. In addition to food and water, it's also a great idea to keep a few flashlights and other non-flammable light sources handy. Candles and other open flames can be very dangerous, and the worst possible time to cause a fire is when there's some other emergency going on. Public service message from ready.gov at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. I'm just going to read the quick ones from here out that say, like, don't drink and drive. 8:23, Mike's going to be calling in roughly in about 7 minutes. I'm going to play something off his, I'm going to play something now off his new album, which he's touring behind. He's going to be at Atwood's Wednesday night. This song's called Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Fleas. Lord of the Fleas. Lord of the Flies was a book, movie, right? This is Lord of the Fleas.
Lord of the Fleas, just keeping track of all the enemies, just pushing back on all the agencies and refugees that don't really
stay.
That was Wired for Sound, a song called Here I Am off of their Choke EP, and Mike Younger, as I said, with Lord of the Fleas. That is off Burning the Big Top Down. That came out in 2021. That was his latest release, and he's playing Atwoods. He's going to be calling in momentarily, so I'm going to go into a stall here until he calls, because that's easier to do that than to do the phone tag back and forth. We can talk about the weather. The heat wave is finally going to break. I just saw my phone, and it's supposed to be 20 degrees cooler tomorrow than it was today. So as opposed to the upper 90s, we're going to be in the upper 70s, so that's pretty good. And but that storm last night, I lost power. Was it the night before? Old age, right? You forget things. The night before, whenever we had the storm, lost power for like 8 hours. It went out about, no, it was a Sunday, that's right. It was Sunday, about 8 o'clock or so, power went out. We didn't get it back until 3:30 in the morning. So that was a rough night because it was pretty humid still during that day. But, you know, and I think a lot of this, people don't want to hear it, but I think a lot of this is probably due to climate change. Every year is getting hotter. You look around the globe, you look around the country, and you have these fires in record-setting heat all around the world. So it's not just here. So I think that's got a hand in it. But anyway, it's going to be some relief. Going to be a lot cooler, as I said, tomorrow. Going to play something now. If Mike calls in, then we'll just we'll go song by song. Right now, this is something by Gymnasium.
Secure in the driver's seat, out of place in the neighborhood.
I think we're going to get him, so we'll get back to that song. Hello, WMFO, Skybar.
Hey, Skybar, this is Mike Younger calling.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good. Ann Anklin told me to give you a buzz.
Yeah, you're playing a show at Atwoods tomorrow night, right?
That's right, that's
but
right.
But before we get into that, I kind of looked in here a little bit, and you were born in Halifax, is that right?
That's right.
I was in Halifax. My wife and I went to Halifax once a while ago. And are you familiar with the Citadel? It's a fort,
yeah,
I guess. And it's up this big hill, right? And we're going up this big hill. We don't know. I'm like, where the hell is this going to go? Because I didn't see any fort. But as you get to the top, it's kind of like sunken in. And it was wicked cool. So that's my Halifax experience.
We used to go up there and on lunch hours when I was in high school and smoked joints. So
there you go.
Citadel.
Yeah, there were a lot of bars in Halifax, right?
Yeah, there is. There is.
So, yeah, it was a good time. But,
a lot of sailors. A lot of sailors. A lot of drunk people.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you headed to New York around the age of 20? Is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got out. I left Halifax when I was 17 and headed, mm-hmm. you know, out to Vancouver and Toronto. But, yeah, I left Canada when I was 20, a couple of years later, and went to New York.
And what led to that move? Just more chance of getting your music heard or breaking out, or what led to that?
I don't know. I mean, I started out in my mid-teens listening to all that classic rock, you know, yeah. the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, and Bob Dylan, and all of that great, incredible work. And as I was maturing, I started to get real curious about what those guys were listening to and digging into, like, the roots of all that music.
Yeah.
And I discovered, you know, the folk renaissance or folk revival, folk music revival of the 1960s that happened in Harvard and in Greenwich Village in New York. You know, I mean, that scene that sort of gave rise to Mr. Dylan and Joan Baez and, you know, dozens and dozens of other folk acts of the time. And I thought, you know, I want to go down to New York City and see if that environment, that scene still exists for, you know, songwriters. You know, that's sort of what made me set my sights on New York, just to try and find that community.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's a Rodney Crowell. Did he help discover you or took a liking to your music, so to speak?
Yeah, when I finally, you know, like, I was a street musician.
Yeah.
My act was refined over the years that I spent in New York and then eventually down in New Orleans. And my friend John Sinclair, who your listeners might know from the John Lennon's song, John Sinclair, John Sinclair, It's Not Fair.
Yeah.
He actually managed the MC5 back in the 70s. But at any rate, John Sinclair was a disc jockey for WWOZ, listener-sponsored radio that broadcasts out of Louis Armstrong Park down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And he had invited me to come play on the air one afternoon. And I went over there and played a bunch of my songs. And a publisher from Nashville, who just happened to be driving through New Orleans, heard the broadcast and called in the station and asked, you know, who is this guy who just played, you know, can you put me in touch with him? And we had a brief conversation there on the studio telephone, and, you know, a couple of weeks later he came down with a contract for me to sign for songwriting. And I started traveling up to Nashville to cut demos with this publisher, and they sent a copy of some of my demos over to Rodney Crowell. And, you know, somewhere it was landed on his stack that he listens to.
Yeah.
Music that's submitted to him, you know, from various artists looking for a producer or, you know, some help in business or whatever. And somehow or other, he managed by some off chance to put my recording into his CD player and listen to it. He liked what he was hearing, so he got back to me. And so, yeah, in a way, Rodney Crowell did kind of recognize my talents and pull me out of
that's cool.
Street performer life and help me level up into the recording artist.
Yeah, that's cool, because he's a big name. So it must be cool to hear someone of that stature like your music. That's pretty cool.
But it was very gratifying.
Yeah.
Very gratifying indeed.
I want to touch on some of your I know you have some environmental causes that you how'd you get involved in the Dakota Pipeline, and how it affected the people that
well, I did get make a pilgrimage out to North Dakota during the Standing Rock affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because my own community back in Tennessee was facing a massive fossil fuel infrastructure expansion right on top of us. They were going to build, they announced this company will remain nameless or unnamed on this yeah. broadcast. They were announced to my community that they were going to be building the largest compressor station in the country, natural gas compressor station, one of the top three in the country in terms of scale. And then it was going to be constructed right in the midst of my community, on top of my neighbors practically, and utilizing all these old pipelines that were laid in the ground in the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah.
And that really there was nothing that we could do as a community to prevent that, and that they would entertain meeting with us and discussing thing, but there was really nothing we could do, and you know, we had 30 days to comment or something like that. And so we met as a community, and I volunteered, and in fact suggested and volunteered to document all of their existing infrastructure, every river and creek crossing where that pipeline, these 32-inch interstate gas pipelines under 750 pounds per square inch of pressure across the state of Tennessee, which has virtually no, you know, very flimsy environmental restrictions. And so they're able to operate pipelines that are half in the water and half up, you know, half out of the water in creeks, that are subject to high water events, carrying a washer and a dryer downstream and that type of thing. And then now you've got the pipeline laying in the middle of the creek and it's corroded, and the welding, the repairs that they did on it is corroding, has pitted corrosion all over it. And I went to great lengths to document this company's existing operating conditions to help build the case that they should not be given the green light for expansion, for expanding their operation in my community. And, you know, we came together because these are the creeks that the kids play in. And it was in 2015, 2016, and the country was really at the beginning of this terrible division that we've been facing over the last 7 years. And I saw this opportunity, like this issue was this way to bring my community together, both sides, both people from both sides of the political spectrum.
You would hope,
were able
right?
to come together. Well, they were able to come together to fight for their community.
Right.
And I thought to myself, that is something that I want to get behind.
Yeah.
I want to be involved in something that's about bringing people together rather than pushing them apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did become very involved in that movement. And then while that was happening, that whole business with the Dakota Access Pipeline violating treaty law and intruding upon the land of the Lakotas, and you know, emissaries from every tribe in the New World basically showed up there to show solidarity and help them resist. And my community, which had fought so hard to prevent fossil fuel infrastructure expansion in our own midst, we also delivered aid and comfort in the form of winter camping material and food and supplies that would be needed in such a camp, or a blockade camp like they had in North Dakota. So that's how I sort of got pulled into the movement. And it was a moment in time that I was very devoted for a few years, and I remain devoted, but my focus has shifted back to promoting my music these days.
Yeah, that's a very time consuming. It's a great effort that you did, but that's obviously got to be very time consuming as well. And yeah, your music must have taken a back seat a bit to it.
Well, I guess it could be argued that maybe that's true. My energies were a little divided when I was spending so much time and energy focusing on putting up a good, you know, putting a report together that eventually got disseminated at all levels of government and federal, state, and local to expose their poor conditions, et cetera. But I actually, you know, the whole experience and the pilgrimage to Standing Rock and all of those things contributed to some very important musical compositions that I are on my last couple of records, you know, Poison Rivers and Layin' Low. I have new tunes coming up for my next record, and climate change continues to be a major issue for me, especially when you see like kids from the up and coming generation, like Greta Thunberg, you know, who's become a voice of her generation, you know, of discontent of how it's possible that the adults have not gotten their arms around this problem and provided some type of solution that we can work towards. How come this problem is languishing and getting worse and accelerating and amplifying? And, you know, to see the people who have an interest in fossil fuels come down on us what is she, 15 or 14
right.
years
yeah,
old,
yeah.
to see them attack her en masse.
Yeah. Yeah, I spoke about climate change right before you came on.
It resonated with me. So, I mean, I have yielded a number of songs that directly relate to this issue, and I feel sort of a solidarity with those folks that are trying to speak up to work towards solutions in the energy situation, because as soon as I started to disseminate my photographs in the report that I put together on pipelines back in 2015 and 2016, the same type of people started attacking me and coming out of the woodwork and telling me they knew where I was going to be playing and that they'd be paying me a visit and all that kind of stuff, threatening me, you know, same kind of stuff.
That's too bad. I want to get to the Burning the Big Top Down. And that was 2001. You started formulating that, and there was quite a lag, obviously. Something happened.
Very convoluted story, for sure.
But it's out now, right? Well, it's coming out actually in a couple of weeks, right? Mid-August?
No, it's out. It was out last year.
Last year, 2020.
Yeah, it was August of 2021. Is when we launched it. I mean, it was in the middle of COVID, but I had waited 20 years for that record, so I felt like, you know, like, I'm not going to hold it back just because we're in the middle of a global pandemic.
But like you say, you've been sitting on it for 20 years. Yeah, you want to get it out there. And Levon Helm, is there a Levon Helm tie to that, the original stuff with it? That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, the floor sessions, the recording sessions were in Memphis, and Jim Dickinson, the legendary Memphis producer, who, I mean, he's played piano on Wild Horses with the Rolling Stones. In fact, he produced the Sticky Fingers, or a couple of their efforts. He did Time Out of Mind with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
He's done Carlo Guthrie, Delaney and Bonnie. He's played piano and all this stuff. He's really a major figure in you know, the golden age of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And here he was a contestant for producing my second record, and he named the personnel that he wanted to bring to the table, which included Levon Helm and his son Luther mm-hmm. Dickinson from the North Mississippi All-Stars, and Spooner Oldham and David Hood from the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, and they backed Percy Sledge and Aretha Franklin. And when he dropped these names and then I became aware of who they were, it was like a dream come true for a young kid who started out playing on street corners to get into the studio with guys that I've been looking up to, you know, and idolizing since I was very young.
But
4 days into the recording process, I came back to the studio and we got word that something terrible had happened out in California. My record company had hit an iceberg, so to speak, and metaphorically speaking.
Right.
They had hit some kind of a hitch and there was a problem and I needed to call out there and sort it out. And when I called out there, they informed me that they had to pull the plug on almost every project they had going and sort of downsize and pull all their resources in. And my record got shelved slipped away into obscurity to never be heard from again. And, or so I thought.
Right.
And, you know, I went through terrible years of feeling that, I couldn't get the record back, right? I mean, it was not in my possession.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of legal, contractual stuff with all kinds of legal filings flying left and right. You know, my manager, the label, the producer, the players. It was a big mess. And I had to walk away. It was a loss. I had to come to terms with the fact that I recorded with my heroes. I will never hear that record. I continued making records independently.
Yeah.
Made several.
Yeah.
But in 2017, I over the years, you know, Levon passed away in 2012. Yeah. And Jim was shortly behind him. And I believe that's the order that it came. And then the owner of the studio where we had recorded, Jack Holder, who was the owner at Sounds Unreal in Memphis, he passed away too. And I knew that they would be relocating all the tape that they had stored in their temperature and humidity controlled vaults. So it was like my last chance to try and make an interception on those tapes. And I made a bunch of calls and spent some time trying to track people down in Memphis, and I did find my tapes and got a hold of the one wow. lady who might know yeah. where all this tape was from 20 years before, and mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that she was aware of where my tape was and helped me get it back in my possession in 2017.
Determination, right? That's what determination does. If you put into it, eventually,
sometime.
Yeah. I played Lord of the Flies before you came on.
Uh huh.
Off of that's off of that, right? Off Burning the Big Top Down.
Yeah. Yep. Sure is.
So yeah, great stuff. Have you ever been to Atwoods, or have you played there a lot?
I have not played in.
It's a great room. I like. Yeah, it's a great little room. I like it a lot. Who else is on the bill?
Kevin So is. Oh. Co-billing with me.
Okay.
You know, he's one of Boston's great, great songwriters mm-hmm. and musicians. He's been Keb Moe's keyboard mm-hmm. player for a number of years now. He's really a master piano player, and he has his own little side project that he's bringing out. And we might even sing a couple tunes together.
Sure. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for calling in. And that's tomorrow. What time? Probably like what? Generally, Atwoods is like, I don't know. What time does that kick off?
I think we start the show in the right around 8 p.m.
Yeah, I was going to say 8. Yeah, but that's a great little place to play. Great sound and everything in there. So you'll enjoy it.
Well, they have quite a history there.
Yeah.
Of the great performers over the years. So
I saw John Doe there recently. John Doe.
Like I said earlier in the interview, I've been a huge admirer of the folk music revival of the 1960s and 70s since I was a young child. So whenever I get a chance to play in the proximity to Cambridge, it's always, I always take it as a high honor because I'm walking in the footsteps of some of the greats that came before me. Yeah.
Yeah. Cambridge in general is still a pretty cool scene.
Excuse me.
That's all right. All right. So thanks for calling in and, I'll try and get there tomorrow.
Skybar, I very much appreciate the opportunity to come on the air with you and discuss the project. And if you can make it down tomorrow, I look forward to hosting one of your local brews with you.
For sure. All right, hey, great work with all you do for the environment, all you've done, and great music. So thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Skybar.
All right, man. We'll see ya. Bye. All right. That was Mike Younger, Burning the Big Top Down. Going to be at Atwoods. Kind of parched up here. It's hot. I have nothing to drink. But, so that's some great stuff that he's got going on there. Great causes. I've listened to a lot of the CD, and it's great stuff. And, and get back to the music now as soon as I get my files up here. Oh, when he called in, we're in the middle of a gymnasium song. I just pulled it down because it's easier for me to do that than to tell him to call back and all that. So we're going to start that again from the top. This is Gymnasium. Having trouble with I got the computer here. This is my computer. I usually bring CDs in. I have the computer. Give me 1 minute. We'll get it going again. There it goes. That was Lord of the Flies. Here's Gymnasium.
Secure in the driver's seat. Out of place in the neighborhood.
I got my nail polish on. I got my black suit on. I got my parasol up. I'm gonna have some fun.
Until blackout, smoke six till they're sick, pack bowls and then pass out. Windows wide open to let the hard rock in. Theirs was a rage that didn't need much convincing. The girls gave her glares, but the boys were quite pleasant. To be totally honest, they didn't seem much different. When there weren't any parties, sometimes she'd party with townies.